Listeners, season 5 of Ray Donovan is over, but we can't let it go. We can't get enough. So we are back to dish on the whole season and what's going to happen in season 6. But better than that, we've got our favorite guest in-house. Dominique Columbus is here, so sit tight. We'll be right back.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
One waiting.
Okay, the season might be over, but we are not. We are still here, the AfterBuzz show for season 5 of Ray Donovan. We cannot give it up. We have a great guest in the house. I'm so glad everyone's here to dish on the whole season and what's going to happen in New York. Dominique Columbus is here, but before I give him some love, let me tell you where you can find me. I'm at Dinner Party CHGO on Twitter and Instagram, and all my celebrity interviews are at thedinnerparty.tv. And Louisa, where can we find you?
Hi, AfterBuzzers. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at LuluSharTV.
And what are we waiting for, everybody? Drum roll. Dominique, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate
it. Love to have you back, because you were here already.
Oh, yeah. I love the AfterBuzz TV family. You
know? And he was sitting right here, so now we switched.
Yeah, we switched. You know, I switched up the vibes a little bit.
So how can people find you?
Huh?
How can people find you?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dom's Perspective. Go and follow me and start the journey together.
It's a great page.
Awesome.
Good vibration.
Awesome. So check him out. So we're going to get into all the details, our favorite moments of the season and what Dom's up to in season 6 and the development of your character in season 5. But I also know that you were just in Japan. What were you doing there?
My brother actually lives out there. He's a songwriter and he writes music for literally the biggest artists out there.
No way.
Me and about 5 of my friends, we got a Airbnb out there. Got a 4-bedroom house.
Cool.
Went out there for 2 weeks to go see him. Go party. Party, have some fun.
Wow.
Been working hard all year long, so
you need
it's
it.
Cool. Yeah.
Highlights of Japan.
Oh, honestly, it's like every night was a highlight.
Oh,
honestly,
gosh,
like every night was so different. But one of the biggest things that I came back with was learning how to be more considerate and give more respect and more love, because everybody in Japan is so considerate and they're so loving. Even on going up the escalators, no one just like stands in the middle and hogs it up. Everybody stands to the left and allows people to still go up the right if you need
to. They respect their space.
Very much so, you know. So coming back here definitely opened my eyes just to want to continue giving that love more so in every action, not just in little actions, you know.
And the world needs it now. So.
In every action. I love that. And not just in the little superficial things, but in every action. So you really felt that they were mindful.
Absolutely.
How was the food? I have to ask.
You know what? I got to be honest. I'm not going to have sushi or ramen for a minute.
You're done.
Like, done.
I was having
the
that
ramen.
Every day for breakfast. It was it's amazing. But
you put egg in yours?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What about sake? I really want to know about sake.
No, it's fire. It's fire. I'm just cool off that stuff for a cool minute. Had that every day for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. I'm like, I'm done. I want some American food now.
Yeah. Listen to you. Well, so great to have you here.
Thank you.
So your character, I thought, had some great development in season 5. And what I'm really thrilled about is it looks like we're setting you up, you, Damon, up for season 6 to really come into your own. Do you have any idea what's going to happen in season 6?
I have a pretty strong
idea.
Oh, you
do? I do. Are you telling us?
He's not going to tell us because last time he was here, he didn't say anything.
I knew
it
was a little while ago.
How worth it was it, though? How worth it? Weren't you glad?
I love it.
No spoiler alerts.
Yeah.
But you do know enough to know that your character is going to flourish in season 6.
Absolutely. You know, the last thing you guys saw with Damon was getting ready for his next fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when one of the earlier episodes, you heard Harry talking about Damon looking at the Madison Square Garden, you know, he's getting ready, so there's a hint, you know. But there's some really amazing stuff going on, you know. We're going to be filming in New York for 6 months, it's moving, so I'm excited just to start the new journey, you know. And they're definitely doing a lot with me, so just staying ready, you know what I mean?
And your dad's back in your life.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
so huge.
Yeah. And I'm glad that everybody actually, like Terry and my dad, they're all getting along, so now I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the progression of it now.
But
you know?
Terry was kind of neglecting you these past few weeks because of Bridget and Smitty and all of that, right? So I saw that you were kind of going through a hard time. You wanted him to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And is there going to be any animosity with Terry at all, that he wasn't there? He'd kind of let you down a little bit. At first he was like, hey, you know, to your dad, back off. You weren't here when we needed you. And then Terry wasn't there when you needed him. So is there going to be any kind of friction around that, or is that kind of water under the bridge now?
Well, the thing is, I think it's water underneath the bridge, because on the last episode, you see that, you know, Terry's like, no, my dad has good intentions and he's trying, and you can tell with everything that's going on, he's like, you know what, let's just do it, you know. That's why they had that cool moment with us three, where like being able to train together and like, you know, if I'm gonna have a camp, let's do it, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
So I was surprised to see. So one of the things we had been talking about all through season five is there was so much writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, particularly in this backflash with, mm-hmm. you know, Abby. And there was so much detailed writing. Some of the things I felt like, well, wait a minute, that storyline I didn't get enough of. Mm. And one of them was a little bit about Terry. So his wife, I'm still sort of wondering about his marriage. Exactly. It looks like it's fallen apart, but we don't know 100%. Mm. And then also I was surprised that he was so quick to give up his L.A. boxing studio. So I don't know if you have any sense of how he's really going to take to the New York.
Well, the thing is, you know, they have so much history in that gym. And they've put in so much time and work. And you've seen the progression of it. If you go from season one to see where the gym is at now. Mm-hmm. You know, but I just think that overall the whole entire Ray Donovan family as a collective, it's just L.A. just isn't really home anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody's progressing towards New York now. So it's like, you know what? We're all moving to the next chapter of our lives with Abby being gone, Ray selling the house, Terry getting rid of the gym, you know, Bunchy getting the bar. So it's like, everybody's moving
and
to
the
that
dog.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody's moving to that next step of their life. So, and it's just one of those things where it's like, you know what? Think about it like this. If you get a brand new car, but you have a garage full of stuff, you can't park that car inside. You have to clear out the old to bring in the new. Yeah. So that's why I feel like what they're doing, they're clearing out some of the old so they can get ready for the new. You know?
And speaking of L.A., Ray brought out his whole family to L.A., right? Mm-hmm. But no one's there anymore.
No.
Except
everyone is gone.
Mickey, who's in jail.
Well, except Mickey. And then
that storyline.
Daryl. I still have a question. Mm-hmm. Is Daryl staying in L.A.? Because he's going to be a big-time producer now. Mm-hmm. So there's all, do you know?
You know what? Hey, the writers are so witty when it comes to these shows. So it's like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So.
I have a lot of questions too because it's like New York City, it's all subway. So, and Ray's trademark is him,
in his car.
So, how are they going to pull that off?
Oh, that's great.
In New York.
That's a great
comment. I'm sure they'll figure something out, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited because Ray is East Coast to me. He always is. You know, he's so gritty and coming from Boston and he's so gritty. And so New York's just a perfect backdrop for him. And I'm also very excited to see how he and Sam Winslow, how they carry on. Because there was a moment before Ray killed Doug.
Yeah.
There was a moment when Doug was going to get all of the West Coast and Sam was going to get the East Coast news, the New York networks. So she obviously has a large foothold in New York and it seems like Susan Sarandon might be back.
We want to see more of her because we didn't really see enough of her.
We all want to see more of Susan Sarandon. Yeah, she's such a beast. Oh, yeah, she's so awesome. Yeah.
And what I loved, I commented about this on the last episode of season five. So there's a scene when Susan Sarandon and Liev are walking down the hallway together towards the surgery room and she is wildly tall because Liev is what, 6'5", 6'4"?
Around
is
there.
That
yeah, he's
tall?
He's pretty tall.
She was
wearing
flats and she came up to his neck. I mean, I was pretty surprised. So she carries herself so well. Mm. And I love the two of them walking down the hall.
Truly elegant, for
this
sure.
This is really an elegant couple.
It's going to be a great partnership. Mm. I think Ray's going to just fully work for her now. But I feel like Ray's also going to take some time to work on himself.
Mm.
He has so much things going on in his life now. It's so sad.
Well,
I would say, all in all, I think everybody's just super happy to see that Ray's back. You know, like, Ray. Because for the first...
You think he's back? Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. You think he's back.
Well, in a certain sense of just getting back to the nitty-gritty. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody... Because, you know, people got a chance to see the different side of Ray this year with seeing the whole
with
thing
Abby.
With Abby and the family, right, seeing him all. But it's like, you know what? Like, now that that's transcended, like, over his past. So it's like, and Ray's just at this point where he's like, there's a job, I'm gonna do it. That's why he was so cold with the Doug situation.
Yeah.
You know, so and the Ray Donovan fans, they love that gangster side of Ray, you know?
With
so
the rope,
like,
with the bathrobe.
Yeah, no, I thought he still deserved it, particularly the way they set it up. It was great. Just seeing that new replacement for Natalie James walk out of Doug's room.
I know.
And Ray was just like, I'm not having it.
I mean, even that last scene, we had questions like him jumping into the river and if that's edited or like what's happening. Like, is he trying to rebuild himself, like, by hitting, you know...
What do you think?
Bottom. That's what I think. So I think it's fake. Well, not that it's fake, but I think that's just... Just like Rachel said, I think the opening scene of season six would be him sitting on the bench and him thinking about how he was just visioning himself being in the river and then seeing Abby again next to him as a ghost.
Or might just open it up with him in the river.
So I think he did jump. I think he is in the river, and I don't think he drowned, and I don't think it was suicide. I think it was... not to go too religious, but a sort of baptism. It was like a
cleansing myself from my sins.
I'm done here. It's the new me when I pop up. If I decide to pop up and breathe, then this is behind me. I have washed it off. So I see it as like a cleansing.
I mean, the beauty of this season is even though we had Abby's storyline be so big with her cancer, they still kept Ray doing the dirty work. They didn't take that away because they know the fans love to see that. That's like the main point of the show. But now I feel like, just like he said, he's fully coming back.
Yes, yes. Let me ask you a little bit of nitty-gritty behind the scenes. So David Hollander, I think, is an outstanding writer.
Absolutely.
And he directed some as well, I believe. But he wasn't always the showrunner. So Anne, the creator of the show, Anne Bitterman, she was originally the showrunner as she had created it. What was that transition like going from Anne as the showrunner to David as the showrunner?
Well, to be honest, I got brought in on season four when David was already,
there.
Yeah, so I didn't get a chance to really meet Anne or work with her. But, you know, the show did so great the first three seasons. So being brought on to in my personal opinion, I think what David Hollander is doing now, you know, it may be a slightly little bit of a different direction than maybe what she thought, but I love it though. I think it works. David is so intelligent, and he knows exactly what he wants, and when he executes. They all work so hard collectively. Even Liev, you know, when he's not on set, man, he's working 16 hours a day. So they put so much time and energy into the show, and they're such a strong family that regardless, it's, I feel like collectively as a vision, it's still moving forward in the way that they want it to. You know?
Yeah. And I think he did a very smart move of killing off Abby because he wanted everyone to reinvent themselves, especially Ray. He knew that, you know, Showtime's going to want more episodes, but how do you keep a storyline going when everyone's just trying to be happy and all that? I think something had to just hit, and it was Abby.
That's a great point, because Abby's the glue. And you get rid of Abby, and everyone spirals out of control, and they had to all come up with something new.
So it was a smart move.
And I also think, I was saying before about the storylines, and at some storylines, I was like, wait a minute, there are some details I'm missing. I felt that a little bit about Bridget, too. She's always with Smitty, who a character that I love, and I'm not sure he's going to make it. He's had surgery, but he's not a
Graham, killed that role. He did a great job for
Smitty. Terry was such
Graham,
a great...
Shout out to you, bro.
Shout out to Graham. That's
and
really
Terry
awesome.
Was great, too, being a supporter of him.
But it's not clear to me, one, that Smitty will make it, and two, I haven't seen her in school at all. Did she drop out?
No, I mean, the New York... They're really smart, because you always see her coming home from school. You know what I'm saying? And plus, with everything that's going on in the show, it's like, I don't know how much we really want to see Bridget in class. Like, I think
the day-to-day.
Kind of want to see what is she dealing with. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, school is just something she just goes to do what she got to do. But, like, there's so much more happening outside of it. So, who knows? They might focus on her next season.
Yeah.
They might not. I don't know. But it's like, it's, I feel like just more in terms of interest level.
Yes.
It's so interesting just to see what she's dealing with now by herself and this new, you know, with everything. So,
can you tell us a bit more about Connor? I know he's going to be in the Marines. So, do you know if he's going to come back to season six and make appearances?
I mean, the kid is definitely, I mean, it's Ray Diamond's son. I mean, he ain't going nowhere.
That was a powerful scene when he was doing that for Ray.
Yeah, basically. You know it. You know it. I'm really, really proud of Devin, who plays Connor. You know, in that last scene, in my opinion, I think he showed a lot of growth in that character, because you saw it's like when Ray signed the papers, Connor wasn't really thrilled right away. He was more like, damn, I can't believe my dad really did it. But, you know, since he did it, I got this attitude now. So I think all in all, you know, Connor's been such a misunderstood individual throughout the show just because of everything that's going on in the family. And, like, this is his way of finding himself. And he's like, you know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. You know what I'm saying? So that's why he's like, no, you're going to be working for me. I was like, ooh, you know? So I was like, hey.
I love that line. Hey. I'm coming back and you're working for me.
Yeah. So who knows with what they're going to do with Connor. But in terms of just his character, his growth, you know, he's grown up to be his own man now. So that's an interesting storyline in itself. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that as well, you know?
Yeah. And do you think Mickey's getting out and he's taking revenge?
You know, he's such a slick dude. Damn. Like, he finds the loopholes in areas you feel like it will never have. So, I mean, that's Mickey, man. He gonna figure something out. I don't know what it is, like, but he's brilliant, man.
I gotta say, I love the Mickey character. Yeah. As much as I love Ray, and I'm always rooting for Ray, I love his sense of humor. He's a little bit of comic relief. I mean, you know, he's always shaking and cooking with ladies.
Yeah, he got a cool swag to him. He's swaggy.
But he knew everything.
John Voight, could you get any better?
No, that's
than
one of my favorite
Voight.
People on set, too. He shows so much love.
Like, is that right?
Yeah, he's amazing.
I wasn't sure if he was serious all the time.
John Voight is freaking cool. But it's, you know, it's funny, the whole set, the whole cast is absolutely amazing. But, like, it's so mind-blowing to see him snap with the character, you know? And so it's like, even with Terry, you know, with Eddie, when I'm... We'll be joking around, and then right, this is before he got rid of Parkinson's. We'll be normal, but then when they say, you know, all right, first team all set, you see him, and they just snap into. Wow. I'm like, wow, they have these characters so locked. So it's like inspires me to learn how to transition like that and know how to know your character in and out. You know, so
are Mickey's, they all happy for New York too?
At the rap party, it was a very like happy sad. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody's excited for the next part of the journey of the show, but you know, in LA. The Ray Donovan crew, they've been together for 5 years. It's been so tight. It's a family. So now when we move, it's a new crew. So, you know,
the same crew.
The rap party was a very, very powerful moment with all of us because it's a family, you know, even with Paula being there with the whole crew. So everybody's excited for the next part of the journey, but, you know, it was a bittersweet moment. But, you know, it's the amazing part was just to be able to experience that love between the family. And I see why the show is where it's at. It's like people forget how much work all these individuals put behind the scenes, you know? So it's awesome, you know?
You know, I feel that actually in this show because it's so tight and you have these monsters, I'll call them, like Liev and John Boyd in terms of acting props, that I feel like it's sort of like intellectual gangster level. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like it's a smart team.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's got to be just sort of A+ all the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's like street smart mixed with intellectual, you know, people and their mindsets.
You have such incredible, even Eddie, I have to say, I think he's a phenomenal actor. So, you know, of course I'm giving props to John and Liev, but I think Eddie is outstanding.
That
to see
man
him
is
do Parkinson's
so intelligent. Like every conversation with that, like it blows my mind how smart he is, you know what I'm saying? So there's times where, like, I don't even know what to, like, most of my scenes are with him, you know what I'm saying? I feel like everybody on set, him and I have the most chemistry because that's my coach, you know? But it's just like the things he talks about, it's just like, I'm just like, it's like a sponge. I'm just soaking in all this knowledge. You know, he's just very intense. So that's why it makes sense why he's such a powerful actor, because he knows the direction. He knows what he's doing in every action, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, you learn from him every time
you tremendously,
talk to him.
Tremendously.
That's the best. When you talk to someone, you learn from
him. Yeah, absolutely.
And I was going to ask you that too. What have you learned from being on set? I mean, obviously you're learning great acting skills all the time from these giants, but what else are you learning on set that maybe you didn't think you'd pick up on a Ray Donovan set?
I'm getting a lot better at learning how to adapt. You know, because it's like, you know, you never really know what you're going to do when you get on set. Because, like, you know, you get the material, you study everything, you know your beats and your moments and everything. But when you get on set, once the blocking gets included, once you're now, like, the dynamics can change. So you just got to be, I learned how to be more adaptive and learn how to keep things really organic and not being married to one particular like choice, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
that's
one thing, you know, right on, because like getting on there, like there's times where it's like one director may want this type of style, another episode, it's different directors.
Oh, wow.
So there'd be another episode where maybe the director wants, it's just a little bit more like, let's nitpicking a little bit, it's like, no, like I want to do this, you know? So just learn how to adapt and just being flexible and just showing up and bringing more than expected, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
It's an open mindset that you have to keep at all times.
And that's wonderful for everything, acting
and
then everything else.
Yeah.
And were you at all nervous? Like, I mean, do you ever sort of doubt yourself, like, oh my God,
this is John Boyd.
You know what? Nah. Because, you know,
he's too cool.
It's not even too cool. it's you know, this is my vision. I'm such a strong visionary. And
you are.
And I really focus on like seeing what I want to manifest and like preparing for my moment of opportunity, so when it comes I'm ready for it. And all in all, it's like all these dudes, man, they're great, you know, and my whole thing is like I'm striving for greatness, so to be around it excites me. I don't get nervous like, oh, but I get more like, oh, so excited, like I'm ready to go,
my
nervous
chance.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, the first episode in season 4 when I first came on, I was nervous and that's
fair enough.
But you know, I was able to take the energy and apply it to the character. But season 5, like I felt so comfortable with my character now, and I was just like, all right, let's just get to it, you know? Like I felt great, you know. I'm really getting nervous now.
And how do you prep for your role? Like, how do you train? Because you seem pretty zen. It doesn't surprise me that you went to Japan. Actually, you seem pretty zen. You know,
absolutely.
Zen. I love it.
You're pretty chill, and
you
seem like you put a lot of mental energy towards where you want to be and what you want out of life.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you prepare for your role?
Honestly, I just take it one step at a time. Honestly, I just day by day. So when I get new scenes, when I get new material, I sit down, I break it down, and I have the same formula every time, the same process on terms of how I get ready. Now, depending on how intense the scene is, kind of depends on how, you know, how I want to practice and train myself for it. But all in all, I just take it one step at a time. You know, it's the same formula. It's just like when I used to fight when I was a boxer, right? So it's like how you prepare for a fight. Well, you go in the gym and you take it one day at a time. Mm-hmm. You just work on these little things every day. So when you get to fight night, you're ready to go. Mm-hmm. So that's my way of doing it. You know, I just make sure that I stay prepared, just take things one day at a time, and I just put all my energy into it, because if it's all over the place, it's not going to come out as raw, authentic as it should, you know?
I hope everyone's listening, because these are fabulous words of advice. Oh, yeah. Seriously, yeah, for young actors, these are great words.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you'd say to a young actor trying to get, like, the job of a lifetime, mm-hmm. Ray Donovan?
Or just any job, just, right. Like, how you get your foot in the door, auditions, all that stuff. So
honestly, don't be afraid of rejection. You know, there's so many times where I've auditioned for stuff, I've been up for this role, or, mm-hmm. you know, you're waiting to get that moment of opportunity, but just keeping faith, honestly, and just staying focused and keeping that strong vision, because there's been so many times where I auditioned for something and I may not get it, but I'm like, you know what, God got something better for me. And whoever did get the role, I don't know what that person is going through, but I'm happy for them, because I don't know how bad they needed it. And wow. So it's funny, because even when I auditioned for Ray Donovan, I was up for another show, and actually I was like on like the fourth callback, chemistry read. I was so excited. I was like, I was hoping I'd get the show, and I didn't get it, but I ended up getting Ray Donovan. So okay, it's like kind of funny how it works out. So any actor that's up and coming right now that's working their butt off, just keep going. Don't stop. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly. Yeah. And just, you know, I practice this every day, the 33% rule. You know, I make sure 33% of my time I give it to people who are better than me. And then another 33% I give it to people who are on the same level as me. Another 33% I give it to people who are younger than me, so I can teach. So I learn from the greats. You know, me and my people who are in our lane, we apply it. And then for the up-and-coming people, I'm able to teach them. And by teaching them, it helps me learn better myself.
I have never heard the 30... And I've been around a while. So I've never heard the 33% rule before.
I love that. I'm in this business program that I downloaded. And it's called Millionaire Mentor. And all these, like, different mentors who are great at what they do, they come and talk about this. Because if you give 100% to one group of people, like, you don't really grow as fast, mm-hmm. you know? So the reason why I feel like I'm growing so fast is because I'm around people who are already doing this, who are great. So I learn from them. And then when I get around people my age who are working, I know I apply that same energy. Right. And then for the younger ones, I'm like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is why I can help you out. You know, so it's just a circle. Just a circle.
Energy is a circle.
That's all it is.
How important is it to visualize it first? Because I know you're very big on seeing it before actually achieving it, right? Isn't that number one in anything in life?
I'll say, you know, visualizing is key. It's so amazing, and you have to definitely see the vision, but, you know, you got to do it. Mm. You know, so many people...
There's no way around the work.
Yeah, you know, I there's so many people that are like, yo, I think about this all the time, but it's nothing's happening. I'm like, well, what are you doing every day? You know, like, you have to just apply yourself, take it one day at a time, you know, and don't be afraid of failure. Sometimes people fail and they're like, you know, like for me, I'm not afraid of failure. I'm afraid of not trying.
Yes, I so agree. Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like if I don't try or give it my best, it's like, that eats me up more than anything. So it's like, don't be afraid of failure, and just when you visualize, cool. Like that's half of the step, but now go and do it, and that's what's gonna separate you from everybody else. You know.
I also feel that you learn a lot when one learns a lot when one fails. Mm-hmm. You see what you did wrong. You see what you would do differently. Mm-hmm. You know, you're still out there meeting people. So even if you didn't get that job, you're meeting that producer, that director. They might remember you for something else. You might learn something from another.
Happens all the time.
So you're at least you're out there sharing, exchanging, and I think that's.
It's also how you bounce back after you do a failure. Mm-hmm. That's like
right, like your
one.
Adaptability that you were saying before. That
because even the best mess up, right? So that's just a rule in life.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, you just want to just keep working. It's a craft. It's a skill. It's just with anything else, you want to keep improving it and just keep getting better at it one day at a time. You know, I've been one of those people where I still want to do so much in one day, and I want to get anything done because I overwhelm myself. So I'm like, okay, well, how can I get as much as I want done? Just one day at a time, you know, because I know like what I do today creates my tomorrow. So let me focus on that, you know.
What's your morning schedule like? Because I'm a very morning schedule-y person where it's like I want to know what successful people do. Mm-hmm. So do you have a specific schedule? Like what time do you wake up? Yeah. What do you eat? What do you do?
Well, I mean, honestly, the first thing I do in the morning, I gotta make sure that before I leave my apartment, leave my bed, I'm on the highest frequency, you know. So, when I get up, I kind of go based off how I'm feeling. Right, I'm like, okay, do I want to listen to music right now? Or I want to listen to the motivational video. So before I do that, I do a lot of spiritual work in the morning. So I get up. I'm excited for the new day. I give my gratitude. You know, I'm expecting great things to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but I expect something. It could come in an email, a conversation, an opportunity, but I'm expecting something great to happen, right?
Amazing.
And then, you know, every morning is different. Sometimes I wake up, I'll read. Sometimes I'll go on my balcony and meditate. Sometimes I just vibe out to music and I'm just taking care of little stuff around the house. Just getting up, getting my mind on the right frequency that I want, you know? So then once I take care of all that, then I step out of my house and usually the rest of my day flows. You know, one of my, I used to do motivational videos and I talked about the four pillars. Wow. So I work on spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical. So it's four. So it's like, first pillar I'm working on in the morning is spiritual. So once I knocked out the way, I'm like, what's the second pillar? Emotional. How am I feeling? Am I happy? Am I excited? Or am I bothered by something that happened yesterday, right?
My God.
So if I'm feeling good, I'm like, Corey knocked out that pillar. But I'm feeling a little bothered. I'm like, let me skip that pillar and go to the physical pillar. Let me go work out. So I go work out. I go train. See, I feel good.
Right. Change the emotional.
Yeah. So I'm like, now I'm feeling good. And then the last pillar is mental. So I'm like, what I need to do for my craft? I need to go study this film. I need to read this book. I need to go do stuff in my business program. I need to set some meetings up. Like, what am I doing? So it's like, I just do my best there just to stay in balance, you know, because even when things do slow down, you can't slow down. Right. You know, it's like when things slow down, it's time for you to work on certain things you kind of avoid. So in those time periods, I just work on my strengths and I don't really focus so much on my weaknesses because I feel like a lot of times when people focus on like their flaws or weaknesses, they miss out on how great and the good things they have, you know. So then you focus on those things and, you know, it kind of actually, you end up start working on your weaknesses, like unintentionally, actually.
Words
so.
Of wisdom by Dominique.
Oh my God,
Columbus.
I hope everyone's getting this.
This is just major.
We're going to have to recap this. I feel like I should give everyone an outline because this has all been so good. Where can we find these videos? I guess maybe I missed this. You do the videos or you watch
them?
Well,
yeah, no. So before I used to, I saw a YouTube channel and I was doing a motivational videos like earlier in the year called Down's Perspective. And every Sunday I would just drop a motivational video. You know, I'll shoot it, I'll be the one talking, you know? And, I did about like 14 episodes, but then I was starting to get so swamped and booked with Ray Donovan.
Sure,
I had to kind of slow down on it. But yeah, so I'm going on YouTube, typing Don's Perspective. You can
I'm
going to
do
stuff.
That. I'm writing it down.
And just to give you an understanding too, look, none of this knowledge is mine. This is just when you pay attention, when you're willing to learn all the time, you're willing to grow all the time, you just learn. None of this knowledge is mine. It's just up there and it's accessible. So I'm just like, okay, I see it. So let me go grab it and learn about it, you know? So that's pretty much it.
It's all about growing. It's amazing.
I love this because you really could see the world very differently, or you could see the world as Dom does, and that's a choice.
Yeah,
and you're making that choice every day.
You want to see it through Dom's perspective.
You really do want to see it through Dom's perspective.
Facts.
I love the
Facts.
Discipline about this.
Thank
because
you.
It really is a discipline that you work on every day.
Yeah, it's a muscle.
It is a muscle that you train, and then you're stronger and stronger and stronger. So now you have this foundation that you've built up for yourself.
I
Absolutely.
Just feel so calm now. I've been listening
I know.
To you. I'm just like,
Hey.
And how long have you been doing this?
But the motivation video. Yeah. So I just started this year, but honestly, my whole life, my family always instills this in me about being a light worker. You know, my dad is someone who works extremely hard, what he does, my mom does, my brother. So we all want to be light workers because there's so many dream killers in the world, so many people that'll tell you can't do something versus that you can't, you know? So it's like with every action, every interaction I have with somebody, I want to make sure I can give light and love at that specific moment and then go to the next thing. Especially in Hollywood, yo, honestly, shit goes around. People talk.
Oh,
so it's like, you know
this
what I'm saying?
So true.
So
yes.
You don't ever want to be someone who kisses someone's ass, but you want to be able to add difference and add value, you know?
Yes.
So that's my whole thing. You know, I just focus on like, how can I just spread light and be a light worker every day? I know my life is my message to the world. And I'm leading by example in a positive or negative way. I just got to make the choice, like you said.
So
I'm like, well, okay. Well, I'm in this position. Let's inspire somebody to become better than I am or to even reach this frequency so we can keep growing. Because if they grow, I can grow, you know?
I am so following him
and
immediately. Down to respect.
Like you said, being in Hollywood, it's a tough industry. Mental, physical, and all of that. So once you just target that, you can target everything else. The way
Absolutely.
You look at it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and just keep an open mind, yo. Just like, it, no, because there's going to be, not everybody's like this, you know.
No,
Not everybody's like it, so when you do come across those people, you know, just, I never take anything, I try my best not to take anything personal. Because I'm like, look.
Oh, you can't, yeah.
You meet somebody that might make you feel a different way, you know, I'm just like, that's their journey, that's where they're in their life, hey, it is what it is, you know, like. Just take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, and you have your work to do. One has their own work to do. So you just, a body in motion stays in motion. And just stay on your track, and that will open up for you. And other people will come around. And really, the only one who can live their journey is them. So you really can't tell them. I mean, you can lead by example.
Yeah, yeah.
But they have to want it, and they have to come to it in their own time.
Oh, yeah, and I believe Oprah said something along the lines where, keep pushing forward, don't look back, because you lose balance. Don't look at anyone else's journey, right?
Just keep your own. Keep your eyes on your own paper.
And fun fact, I don't know if you know, but Dominique's parents were fans of Ray Donovan even before he landed the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was my parents' favorite show.
Right? Until
on my vision board, you know, because I got a vision board. I got a goal sheet too, and one of my goals on my goal sheet was to book a show that my parents watched the most, you know, one of their favorite shows. So it's like, when it happened, I was like, yo, this is awesome. You know what I'm saying? I was super stoked, super excited. My dad's been watching it since day one. He put me on the show before I even got on it, you know? Like, so I was just like, yo,
we gotta have your folks on the show too.
Oh, absolutely. Your dad is pretty awesome. Your dad is part of the boxing world, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My dad, you know, he was one of the first ones in history to create a high school boxing program where other high schools can box other high schools. Now he has a new boxing shoe that's out too. It's called Box Runners.
Wow.
You can actually go check out the website. It's called BoxRunnersShoes.com.
Nice.
BoxRunnersShoes.com.
Yeah, he created the first boxing shoe you can actually train and run in. So, you know, he's an innovator. You know, he works hard. He instills a lot of these visions, like, in terms of mindset. He's definitely in the boxing committee, and he's the one taught me how to fight, you know, so that definitely helps out.
I love it. Well, props to your folks. That's pretty awesome.
Absolutely,
well, so we don't have too much time left, but tell everybody what you're working on, maybe besides Ray Donovan, if there is something. I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, I did a feature film earlier this year with Johnny Depp called Labyrinth, and it's about how Notorious B.I.G. and Tupac got killed. And Johnny Depp was playing the investigator, and it's being told through the story of the investigator. It's also starring Forest Whitaker, Oba Babatunde, a bunch of other stars as well. So, you know, it's still in post-production right now. I think they're shooting for 2018 when it comes out. But my character's name is Terrell, and I witnessed, like, the whole thing with Notorious B.I.G. about how he got killed.
Beautiful.
And so it's a very powerful story. It's going to be super dope.
Congrats. We will be there.
Okay. We will be at the opening.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And you got to come back and talk about the film when it breaks.
Absolutely.
You got to come here.
Absolutely.
And, of course, I would be remiss if I didn't say, what was it like to work with Johnny Depp? Because I love him.
Yeah, I know it. He was amazing. You know, one of the things he kept reminding me, he's like, no matter how big of a star you become, Dom, it's make sure you continue to give everybody respect and love on set. You know,
beautiful.
Like, he's like, these people are the ones I got to make sure I take care of the most, because they take care of me.
Oh,
you know, so,
best.
You know, one of our scenes, you know, we're on set just like 8 to 9 hours together, you know, filming all night. So he's just dropping these gems and he's just talking. He's just like, again, leading by example. And I even some of the things he didn't say inspired me the most, because I was watching him. I was just watching him on set. And just, you know, he talks to everybody, smiling. Everybody was showing him love. Whenever the director Brad Furman had something to say or wanted to talk to him, he was just very like, okay, I got you. Okay, I got you. And it was just very, even the director was like, man, I love working with Johnny. He's one of the most like fun people to ever work with, you know?
That's great.
My experience with working with Johnny was absolutely amazing. That guy's a beast. He brought out some really great energy out of me, you know, pushed me to get to a higher version of myself. So. He's doing what, you know, inspires me to do what I'm supposed to be doing.
That's amazing, you know? Because so early on in your career, you've worked with Liev Schreiber. You've worked with John Voight, now Johnny Depp.
That's amazing. And what I love is that all of these people have taught you something that you feel is valuable. So you've gotten some great lessons and some great energy, it seems.
Absolutely.
Like, from, you know, you often don't see that in Hollywood. And so it seems like right off the bat, you've worked with some really genuine people.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, I was super blessed just to be around this, because I see myself on their level, on that level of being great, you know, and not selling for less, you know. So fact that God has positioned me to be in front of these people and work with them, it's like, okay, this is my opportunity to learn, because as I keep growing, I need to know what's up, you know? And I need to be, because the people who are my age right now are coming up, we're the next wave. So it's totally. Like, we got to take what they're doing and make it better. Better. You know what I'm saying? So that's the best part about it.
I feel like you have to write a book.
I
like,
feel this way, too. Oh,
working with the greats so early on.
I'm a filmmaker, so I have a series I'm developing right now that I want to turn into a Netflix original. So
cast us.
I tell a lot of my stories through like my projects, but maybe someday I'll write a book. Who knows?
So what are your own films about?
So a lot of them, so Runaway series is an anthology series, and it's very similar to, like, you know how Twilight Zone had a different set of characters, different episode, or like Black Mirror, for people watch that.
I've seen it. It's so disturbing. Yeah, Black Mirror.
So, you know, one of the things I used to love about, you know, like Twilight Zone or a lot of projects in the 90s, they talked a lot about moral. Like, you always learn something after you watched it, you know? That's why I feel like Black Mirror is so effective, because it gets people to think.
Think in their,
you know, outside
think,
of you know? Your box.
So in my project, you know, it's called What Would You Do? And pretty much I come up with different situations of, like, I put you in a position and it's like, what would you do if you're in this? So, for example, I have an episode called What Would You Do If You Have 1 Week to Live? And it's basically a story about an older brother that has a little sister. She has osteosarcoma cancer, one of the worst forms of cancer. Right. Doctors at some point just tell you, like, you got 6 months to live, you know? So it's pretty much a story of seeing, you know, every day, this older brother and his little sister, they're making the best out of each day. Right. You know, they don't waste time.
Everything counts
for them. Yeah, and you can't waste time because everybody's experienced losing a friend or death. And when you experience that, it kind of checks you. And you're like, dang, like, I was just with this person. Now I'm not. And one of the things that the brother has to learn, one of his flaws is, you know, he never finishes anything. You know, he does stuff, but he never finishes it. So in the process throughout the episode, as you see his little sister starting to fade away, she teaches him, like, yo, while you're here, don't waste time. Right. You know, make sure you do what you're supposed to do. You got a mission. You got to fulfill that personal legend. So, you know, that's just one. And so at the end of the episode, it's going to just teach people how to make the best out of each day, how not to waste time. Right. I have other episodes, other different concepts. They're universal concepts, which inspires people to reach a higher version of themselves. That's one thing I always push. But then to open your eyes and understanding, like, what's in front of you and what you can create if you're aware of it, you know? Some of the most successful businesses or films or creations, I feel like, were done by the people who are most conscious, honestly.
Yes. So. Yeah, I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I would agree. Who are their fullest selves.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you need to make this happen so we can put out there in the universe so that you can get what you need to make this happen?
So right now, you know, I'm still developing the scripts. Well, I had this 8 episodes in the first season. Right now, just I already have half of the funding. You know, I'm just going to raise the other half of the proportion.
Okay.
And then, honestly, I'm doing a lot of it independently. I have my own production company. I graduated from LA Film School, so I have a lot of friends that a few years ago I did. So I have a lot of friends that all create, have their own equipment, and, you know, they have reds and everything. So I'm just putting it on my own team. Just gonna just do everything independently, and then I just want to just walk in, but, like, look, I already did you guys work for you. I just need distribution now, but you know, I'm excited. Just taking it one day at a time. I've been working on this for about 3.5 years, but God's been blessing me with so many opportunities. So you know, so I was like, you
this
know, just waiting,
real.
Just waiting.
Well, I want to see you shoot straight to the top.
Thank
you are such
that.
A bright star and talent
Thank
and
you.
Energy.
Appreciate
Anything
that.
I can do to help, I mean this in
I
all seriousness. You come to me with any sort of resource you need to stand in, or you're saying, Elizabeth, help me get some publicity out, or you know,
great.
Help me find some fun. Whatever
That's
I can
love.
Do to
I appreciate
help you.
That. Thank you.
I want to make sure that
she's a real deal.
So
I appreciate you. Thank you.
We love having you. I hope you learned so much today. I certainly did. I certainly did, and I will follow you for sure. We are down to the last minutes, which is so tricky. Dominique, tell everyone where we can find your videos and you on Instagram.
Okay, so you can find me on Instagram at Dom's Perspective, and if you go to YouTube, just type in Dom's Perspective. You're going to see a bunch of videos come up. This guy has my face on it. You can't miss it. So it's the same thing. Dom's Perspective, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube as well.
Right. Hit it. Where can we find you?
So this panel has been so much fun. I cannot wait for Ray Donovan season 6. But in the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at LuluSharTV and Twitter at LuluSharTV. But you can also watch me on the Will and Grace After Show every Thursday at 7 p.m. and this Sunday for Netflix News at 7 p.m.
I am also waiting for Ray Donovan season 6. I cannot wait for that. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at DinnerPartyCHGO. All my celebrity interviews at thedinnerparty.tv. I am on the SNL After Show this Sunday, but I know what I am doing tomorrow, and that is watching all of Dom's videos.
Yes.
Dom's Perspective. That's where I'm going. Thanks, everybody, for being here with
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Bye, folks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later, imagine.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.